Thank you, Jerry and Joe, and we will turn it over to you, the fans, at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. I said it in the sixth inning, the Blue Jays are getting punched in the mouth, and that's about how this thing finished. Ugly with a capital UG. The Blue Jays lose 14-5 to the Seattle Mariners, one of 162. And if the season ended today, the Blue Jays will be in the playoffs. So let's have no grand statements of failure and blow this thing up and they're terrible. They were certainly terrible today. They got another one tomorrow. 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell and long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Doug is in Peterborough. Hey, Doug.
Hi there. I listen to your show quite a bit. And I know you hate talking about this subject, but everyone talks about Dickey. There's nothing wrong with Dickey. He's a great innings, sucker upper, and he pitches well. But his opportunity, the opportunity cost of the services, like when you got to put Toley in there, it really gets highlighted when Bautista's out, and it would have been really bright if he'd been scheduled to pitch against Arizona. Because you would have been starting the game with 12 outs, for heaven's sake, basically. I mean, to make a long story short, I think the Jays for sure should be shopping instead of middle relievers and all that. That's bad, but I would start looking for a backup catcher that could catch a knuckleball and hit 250, 260 if they're out there. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think they're out there. There is a rumor that the Blue Jays are looking at Carlos Ruiz from the Philadelphia Phillies. He did catch R.A. Dickey in an All-Star game once. But really, I think that's the least of your worries, to be honest with you. And I wrote a column on sportsnet.ca that went up this morning. I don't know if it's in this morning's part one or if it's in tomorrow's part two, addressing all this angst about Josh Toley. And it really is so terribly misplaced. Look, he's a backup catcher who's going to get 150 plate appearances a year. A league average hitter, not for backup catchers, for the major league average hitter, will get on base 1.5 times more often per month than Josh Toley will in 150 plate appearance season.
The loss of Navarro, was it a big one?
No. He's nice. I like Deonner Navarro. He was great, and he did a good job catching Marco Estrada, and he did a good job giving Russell Martin a breather. But when Deonner Navarro was here, and last year, it should be noted, he was a well below average offensive performer, and I believe this year isn't going very well either for him, that meant Russell Martin had to catch R.A. Dickey, and R.A. Dickey beat the crap out of Russell Martin. And it really did affect what the Blue Jays were able to get from Russ.
Well,
and this year Navarro is hitting 200 with a 598 OPS.
Is that right?
Yes.
All right. Well, I still, and it's hard to explain, but I really hope they do do shop for something like that. It puts a lot of pressure on the big guys.
Doesn't. I mean, look, I know it feels that way, but it really doesn't. Just look at the National League. And first of all, Josh Toley is a better hitter than a pitcher. I know that people love to think Josh Toley's terrible. Josh Toley is a better hitter than a pitcher. Pitchers bad in the National League, and National League teams score 5-6 runs all the time. It's not like having a guy who is only going to get on base once every couple games destroys your batting order. It simply doesn't.
You don't think so? All right. Just my thoughts.
I know. I get it, Doug, I do understand that people are very frustrated, but if you step back from your frustration and look at what's actually happening, it's he's a backup catcher. Backup catchers aren't good. The Kansas City Royals won the World Series last year. Their backup catcher hit 189. It's not the amount of energy expended over Josh Toley is so much in contrast to the issue that arises with the fact that he's not hitting well at all. I appreciate the call. We'll get some more calls. We've got to step away for a second. Blue Jays get pounded 14-5 by the Mariners. It's Blue Jays talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Fly ball rocked to left field. That's a three-run home run. Nelson Cruz with a grand slam and now a three-run home run. Seven runs batted in. And it's 14-2 Seattle as Drew Sorin now finds the road pretty difficult here coming out of the bullpen. Nelson Cruz home runs numbers 24 and now 25.
Big day for Nelly Cruz. Two homers, seven RBIs as the Seattle Mariners pound the Blue Jays 14-5. It is kind of amazing when a guy drives in seven runs and his team still would have won that game even if he had driven in none. 14-5, the Mariners out hit the Blue Jays 19-8 in an exceedingly ugly game. I'm Mike Wilner, taking your calls at the top of the hour. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Joel in Toronto, you're next. Hello, Joel. Hello, Joel. Going once. Going twice. Goodbye, Joel. Thanks for calling. See who Josh Goldberg is going to give us next at 416-870-0590. Or Star 590 or 1-888-666-0590. Sometimes when people just disappear like that, got to give the producer a second to reset. I'm going to go to Brad in Toronto. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, good. What's doing?
As I said before, I'll say it again. I love to hear the innings you call. You put so much energy into it. It's always fun.
Thank you very much.
Real happy to be excited about the Jays. And, of course, you should be. But what? I know it was a drubbing today. That happened, for sure. But Tulowitzki is a beast, and I'm glad that people are coming around on him. He's got the best fielding percentage of any player to ever play the game, and nobody talks about that.
Because it's a crappy stat. I mean, fielding percentage is one of the worst stats you can bring up. But I know that's why I never talk about it. But with the eye test, Troy Tulowitzki is a very, very, very good shortstop.
For sure. It's not even just the eye test. But people, you know, they were a little bit slow on his offense. He's known as an offensive guy. Absolutely. But we should really get people to understand how good he is defensively and pass the eye test.
I'm trying. But I'm not going to use fielding percentages as part of that argument. But, yeah, I mean, Troy Tulowitzki is arguably the best shortstop in baseball.
Yeah, but how do you quantify that defensive stat? Not
you can't.
Because what's a better number? There's got to be something.
There aren't any good defensive stats. There's a whole bunch. I mean, there's defensive run saves. There's defensive plus minus. There's fielding runs above average. But, really, defensive metrics for me are still a work in progress. Hopefully StatCast can kind of help us along that
Agreed.
Road. To get to better ones, but fielding percentage is terrible. All it does is tell you, you know, what you do with the balls that you can get to. Like, for an example, let's say there's a third baseman who makes five errors and on 200 balls, right? And there's another third baseman who gets to 270 balls and makes 30 errors. Which one would you rather have?
Well, Josh Donaldson lives in that zone. Josh Donaldson gets the balls nobody else does. He gets maybe more errors because he's trying to make that throw. But, yeah, he's obviously dynamite.
Right, exactly. That's why you don't use fielding percentage. But, yeah, you're 1,000% right. Troy Tulowitzki is a beast.
I always want to push that out more. I hear guys, you know, kind of dog-tagging him. And he's dynamite. Not a great game today, but like one thing that we should be real happy about is this is going in a dynamite direction for the day.
All right. Thanks for the call, Brad. Appreciate it, and I'm sure that Troy Tulowitzki appreciates the support. Blue Jays got hammered today. Rough day, one of 162. And if you need a frame of reference, the Blue Jays got swept by the Tampa Bay Rays. Remember that in the middle of May, May 16th to the 18th? And they lost those three games by a combined score of 31-7. And they came out of that three-game sweep, and I got to do math in my head now, so you got to wait a second. But they came out of that three-game sweep winning 31 of their next 47 games. So don't take this as any more than one crappy game. We'll continue to take your phone calls, but let's hear from the skipper. Here's what John Gibbons had to say about tonight's 14-5 loss to Seattle.
John, what did you see from R.A. today in the knuckleball?
Well, you know, I thought he had a pretty good knuckleball early on. You know, what killed him was, you know, hit those two guys, and then Cruz comes up here, and it's a grand slam, and, you know, then they loaded the bases after that too. So, yeah, it was one of those days. You know, they got a pretty good hitting team over there. But, you know, I thought for the most part it was a pretty good knuckleball.
They did hit some pretty hard balls, but there was also a lot of, you know, chip shots, little ones that just found holes. Was it one of those days where, I mean, obviously you can't say it was a good, well-pitched game when you give up 14, but was it the score worse than what we saw out there?
Well, I mean, that's baseball. I mean, you're gonna give up hard hit balls, you're gonna give up C&I balls. That's just, you know, that's just the way, you know, we get those kind of hits too. That's why it's so tough to pitch this level.
Did you see anything in particular from Chavez or Storm today that might explain their outings?
No, you know, well, neither one of them had pitched in a while. I think that's probably 5 days for Jesse and Drew. I'm not sure what it is, but they haven't been out there a while. You know, hey, one of those games, everybody gets caught up in it. You know, when things start going south like that, you know, usually everybody gets victimized somewhat. So, you know, the encouraging part, I thought Morales looked pretty good. You know, we didn't know what to expect. He came in and bailed us out of that inning. He kept, you know, kept the game fairly close and got two innings out of him. So, yeah, that's good to see.
Just following up on Morales there, I don't know how familiar you were with him before, but, you know, he used to be a guy who threw pretty hard, and now he seems to be a different guy. Is this just who he is, or are you still getting over the arm fatigue, or what were your thoughts on that?
Well, we're not sure. You know, maybe it comes back a little bit better, but he's always had the ability to pitch. You know, he's always had a good feel for that. You know, he had a really good breaking ball today, which is, you know, going to be a big pitch against the lefty. So, who knows? He says he feels fine, but, you know, early in the season, you know, he had that dead arm and really couldn't necessarily find an injury. But, you know, he's been around a while, so, I mean, it's kind of the way things go sometimes. But, you know, left-handers can survive up here, you know, with less velocity than most righties, so.
Gibby, is there anything you're going to have to keep your eyes on with Hap tomorrow, or is he fully healed now? Where's his arm at?
Yeah, no, he's fine. Yeah, he's fine.
A lot of negatives, but one bright spot, this is becoming a broken record, Michael Saunders again, two home runs today.
Yeah, and of course, in the one last night, you know, he's having a tremendous year. You know, he's facing his old team. And that's really when Michael's going good, when he's driving the ball that opposite field gap. I think he got a little bit of a rut, and he was a little bit too much of a hooking mode. So, yeah, that's a good sign for us.
Definitely a good sign that Michael Saunders goes deep twice, and that's one of the good things you can take out of this game. Franklin Morales is another one of the good things you can take out of this game, and really nothing else. The Blue Jays lose 14-5 to the Seattle Mariners. Back to the phones we go on Blue Jays Talk to the top of the hour. Mark is in Bethany. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mike. How are you? Oh, sorry. I shouldn't have asked.
I already told four people how I am today.
I know, and you're still good. You're still good. I know the drill. I listen to every one of your shows. I subscribe to your podcast. I don't miss a day of your show. If I don't listen to it live, I listen to it the next day when I've got time. I don't think this was a complete disaster because, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but the last few days, you've had a lot of callers calling in saying, you know what, if we don't make a big move, I'm happy with this team. And I think today showed that we do have to make a move.
Really?
Yeah.
No. You can't draw any conclusions from one game.
Okay, well, here's the other thing. Let me bring one more thing up. And I've not heard anybody talk about this. We're 2.5 games behind. But in reality, based on the way Baltimore is playing and Boston is playing, we're 4 games behind.
No.
Well, Baltimore has 3 games in hand.
No, games in hand are not a thing in baseball.
Well,
games in hand are a thing in hockey, but not in baseball. Because in hockey, you can't go down. You can only go up or stay the same. In baseball,
okay.
you can't say Baltimore is going to win the three games that they have in hand on the Blue Jays. Baltimore isn't even winning at a rate of 2 out of 3 on the season. And Baltimore just lost 3 of 4 from the Yankees this week. So please don't go there. It's just not true.
But hypothetically, if they keep playing 500 ball and we keep playing 500 ball.
Neither the Blue Jays nor the Orioles are playing 500 ball. The Blue Jays have the second best record in the major leagues since the middle of May.
Okay.
So don't talk about games in hand. They are not a thing.
Okay,
promise.
Okay, I promise I'll never bring it up again.
Thank you.
Okay, but I enjoy your show. Great.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. The thing about games in hand is, and thanks for the call, is that they favor the team that has played more games because that's the team that gets more time off down the stretch and doesn't have to play doubleheaders in September and, you know, gets the occasional day off to rest. It's great. In hockey, games in hand are a big deal because if you've got 4 games in hand and you lose all 4, you could still get 4 points and move up in the standings. In baseball, it's not because you can actually lose ground in the standings if you don't play well. Hockey, it's stay even or go up. Baseball, it's go up or down or stay even. I know a lot of people like to talk about the games in hand. Honestly, not a thing. Chuck is in Minden. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, how are you?
I continue to be good, thanks.
Good. Listen, my question is, I'm sitting there watching the ball game today on TV, and the announcer says, you know, the fan support is number one in the major leagues.
Number one in the American League, but it's
in
outstanding.
The Toronto, yes, just great. My question is, I love the fans. The ball team's a great team. My question is to Rogers that own the team. Why can't they spend some money coming the deadline and pick up a few of those extra players to help out the team, to show respect for the ball team and for the fans? It almost reminds me of Ballard back, you know, 20, 30 years ago with the Maple Leafs. They would fill the house all the time, but just would not spend the money for their hockey team. And why should they? The Canadian fans just kept flocking into the arena and they had no reason to.
You're 100% right about Harold Ballard.
Pardon me?
You're 100% right about Harold Ballard, but you're not. This is not the same thing. The Blue Jays didn't start selling out the building until last August after they picked up Troy Tulowitzki and David Price, and then they went on that historic run through August and September. They've continued to fill the building. It hasn't been a sellout every day, but they are leading the league in attendance. But they continue to fill the building because they're a really good team. They're currently in a playoff spot. Ownership doesn't think, well, it doesn't matter. They're going to come watch anyway because we saw a lot of years where there were 11 or 12,000 people here for midweek night games and where attendance was at 1.5 million or less. There's certainly no thinking of all we have to do is open the doors and they'll come like there was with the Leafs.
Okay, so why doesn't Rogers wake up now that they've seen by bringing in a few players like Price and Tulowitzki what it did for their balance sheet? And they're in the same position right now. You got a tread daylight, deadline coming up in a week and a half. Can't they spend a little more money and support their team? Because they know the facts are the facts. Last year, you just told me all the money that they brought in. Come on, Rogers. Support your Canada, your team, your fans.
Well, it's not like there is a big, huge money guy out there on the trade block, right, that people are shying away from. There's no David Price this year. I don't have any reason to believe that the Blue Jays aren't going to be right in on all the guys that are the top players at the trade deadline who fit the needs that the Blue Jays fit. I mean, they're looking at Melvin Upton Jr., who's the former B.J. Upton, who makes $15 million. This is not, you know, according to those rumors, this is not the Blue Jays going cheap. I think, and I do appreciate the call, but I think you're getting angry about something that you have no reason to get angry about yet. You're preparing yourself to be angry, which is very definitely a Toronto sports fan trait and which is a well-earned Toronto sports fan trait. because we've all been through it for the last couple of decades. But I don't think Rodgers is going to increase payroll mid-season. Whether that's a whether that's something they should do or not is an entirely different argument. I don't think they're going to do it. But I do think that Mark Shapiro has held money back in payroll to go out and spend and get somebody if that's what it takes. And I do believe that Shapiro and Ross Atkins believe that the Blue Jays can win a championship this year and want to make the changes necessary to put the team in a position to win a championship this year. Thanks for the call. Thanks for all the calls. We got to go. Blue Jays get thumped 14-5 by the Mariners. We'll come back and wrap it up. Post game's brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. It's the Sportsnet Radio Network. That's going to do it for us here at Rogers Centre. The Blue Jays were done a while ago. They lose 14-5 to the Seattle Mariners. Nelson Cruz homers twice, drives in seven. R.A. Dickey, in his shortest start in 5 years, gives up six runs on seven hits in three innings plus four batters. Michael Saunders hit two homers. Justin Smoke went deep as well. And Franklin Morales looked great. We're back tomorrow, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, for a 107 first pitch. Jay Happ against Wade Miley as the Jays try not to get swept. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network.